This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Before we get to the Robert Suarez discussion, because his name also, of course, has been mentioned in trade rumors ahead of the Thursday deadline, a little more love for Adrian Morejon. I don't know how much more we can give to Adrian Morejon.
Man.
But he has been so good. Well, he's given up one earned run in his last 29 and a third innings, including another inning and two thirds with four strikeouts yesterday. And it's not like they're bringing him in against the bottom of orders. He is now, every time going in, essentially, Mike Schill is waiting for him to face the best hitters, the best lefties in the league, guys like Juan Soto, and he is getting the job done every single time. I mean, he has been an absolute revelation this year for the Padres.
Dennis Lynn in The Athletic, 18 pitches thrown for Morejon, 15 of them were strikes, four strikeouts, including one on that new kick change that he's been working on. Unbelievable performance last night.
And you know, you look at what he's done, and you look at what Estrada's done and Adam's done, and I think the natural inclination for all of us that says, hey, we need some help, on this team offensively. We need maybe another starter. You look at that, and I think, you know, if you're playing MLB The Show, you go, oh, no problem. I'll trade Suarez and save some money there, and we just make Adrian Morejon our closer. Because certainly the demeanor and the stuff is, it's closer type stuff, and he gets through the meat and the best part of their order. That's kind of the guy that I want out there every time. He is incredible and has been the entire season. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. So, yeah, man, it certainly lets you dream on that. I think if you're AJ Preller, right? Like that's something you go, well, I mean, you know, not going to lose a lot there, but you know, if a Wandy Peralta, who has been, you know, go back and take out that New York game a month ago. The guy's been great. I don't feel as comfortable with him in the fifth inning like I do with Adrian Morejon in the fifth or sixth. But, you know, if you could have a guy step up right there, Adrian Morejon could go in and close games for you.
I will go back to what I said last week, though. And the reason I'd be hesitant to trade Robert Suarez is sometimes your most valuable reliever is not your last one. It's the one that can go in and get the biggest outs. And that's what Adrian Morejon is doing. And if you make him your closer, Mike Schilt, just like any manager, will then have the tendency to not want to use him until the ninth inning. And that might not be the best time to use him. The ninth inning might be the 7, 8, 9 right-handed hitters when, no, I want Adrian Morejon in maybe in the seventh to face the toughest left-handed hitters like he did yesterday, or the fifth or the sixth, when he is needed the most. He has been used so effectively this year. I don't want to change anything about how they are using Adrian Morejon.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. And I do think that once you get into the playoffs, and if you do make the playoffs, well, then I think the way you deploy your bullpen is entirely different. You know, it's not going to be like the Yankees of the 90s where it's like, all right, we'll go Rivera to Wetland, and then we're going to flip that. We're going to go Wetland to Rivera in the eighth or ninth and Jeff Nelson. No, I think what they do is it's situational. You saw, hey man, hate to say it, but you saw Dave Roberts do it masterfully last year with the back end of his bullpen, guys going in different spots. Not necessarily, that's my seventh inning guy. That's my eighth inning guy. That's my ninth inning guy. But can you afford to lose one of the big guys at the back end of your bullpen, you know, namely Robert Suarez?
If they're going to do that in the playoffs, though, they need to start doing that during the season. If they've got righties coming up in the eighth that they think Robert Suarez is better against, bring him in the eighth, and then if you got lefties in the ninth, save Adrian Morejon for the ninth. I would like to see that. I will caution, after we kind of bagged a little hard on Robert Suarez last week, I will caution about overreacting. He threw one bad pitch that Mauricio, who's been hot, put a really good swing on. He got a lot of swing and miss. He dotted a lot of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs last night as well. He got all the other three outs. You know, that could have been popped up. It could have been missed. You know, he happened to get that one. I don't think that's a referendum on whether Robert Suarez should be traded or not just because he gave up a game-tying solo home run. Your bullpen is not going to be perfect. Even Adrian Morejon is not going to be perfect the rest of the season. There's going to be some runs given up by the four horsemen. So I didn't dislike what I saw necessarily from Robert Suarez. Yeah, he knew he missed that pitch. It leaked over the outside corner, but still, Mauricio put a great swing on that thing to knock it out of the ballpark and give him a little bit of the credit as well. The rest of the inning didn't look like they were going to touch him that much. So If you keep Robert Suarez, that's great. You've got the four horsemen. I just want to see them used effectively the rest of the year. And if you're going to switch and not necessarily close with Robert Suarez in the playoffs because that's not the most effective thing, then start doing it now and just, you know, figure it out the rest of the season. Don't just change it all of a sudden once you get October and the calendar flips.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how you... You know, again, having a more potent offense to get to get a little bit of rest and relief for some of these back end guys is really going to be the key. I mean, it's really going to be the key because you can't go. How many games left on the schedule for the boys, Benjamin, at this point?
We are down to
55.
I want to say 55.
55 games left. You can't have. You know, Jason Adam with 48 appearances in those 55 games. You just can't. You can't. You know, you need to figure out. It's hard, too, because you haven't guaranteed yourself anything as far as a playoff spot goes. You're in a decent position. But, you know, that can go away in a weekend. Honestly, well, man, we've seen it happen. So, go ahead.
I think this week you're in good shape. You haven't used those guys much. We talked about it yesterday. Since the All-Star break, you really only used them, you know, two or three times most, any of them, for the 10-game road trip because you had some easy wins and you had some losses where you didn't use them. So they're pretty rested. Now, you used them all yesterday, but you have an off day on Thursday. So I'd imagine that they're all available at least once today or tomorrow, whenever you need them. You've got, I mean, Jeremiah Estrada threw one pitch yesterday, so he's absolutely fine to go. And none of the other guys were particularly taxed. 18 for Morahone, 13 for Adam, and 16 for Suarez. So I would think we'll see them all at least once more if the games call for it today or tomorrow. Then you've got an off day on Thursday where you get to reset again before the St. Louis Cardinals come to town this weekend. So the bullpen usage has been all right lately. Now, if you trade someone away, that could change the chemistry and the equation of it. So we'll see what happens by Thursday afternoon.
No question, man. No question about it. So it is going to be really. We sit here and we're saying we're hyping it up, right? Like this is going to be one of the craziest deadlines. I don't know why I have this weird feeling that, you know, we end up essentially with the team that we have right now, without tremendous upgrades, without a massive deal being swung. I think that is really in the cards. I really do. Sure, man, you could go add a Ramon Laureano. You could add an Andrew Benintendi. You could add, you know, somebody to come and help and then just kind of let the chips fall where they may. I don't know that that's the best way to do it. But the moving of, you know, four or five pieces in multiple trades, we're running out of time a little bit here, and other teams are also going to be very active. So there's a clock on this thing. There's a clock, and when the clock expires, you're done. So I don't know.
But remember,
what
the clock also expires on the teams that want to trade guys, and they don't want to be stuck holding the bag of a contract and a player that's not going to help them the next couple of months because they're going nowhere. So the other GMs will also start to feel the pressure over the next couple of days. They've been in the catbird seat for a while because they know AJ's more desperate. He needs to add players. You know, we can really keep that price tag high. But as they get to the deadline, they start feeling the pressure going, I don't want to be left holding, you know, no chairs left at the table and I didn't get to trade my guy and I got nothing for him and now I got an expiring contract and I can't even probably offer him a qualifying offer. So I just lost everything at the trade deadline. The dynamic changes here in the last couple of days. AJ knows this and he's probably waiting for a couple of price tags to come down on some guys around the league because there are hitters available. Absolutely, there are hitters available.
Viva makes a really good point in the chat. He says, was Ben rooting for the Dodgers yesterday? Reds lost some ground. Boy, I'm telling you, that was one of those Sophie's choice like a mother. I was on the plane looking at the standings and who's playing who, and I went, oh, my God, here we go again. You know,
Reds. We talked about it yesterday morning, and we legitimately both were like, I really don't know.
My answer was I am rooting for the Padres because if the Padres win, they will pick up a game on one of those two teams, the Reds or the Dodgers, and either is fine. As long as the Padres take care of business, they will have something good happen over the next 3 days.
My gut still am rooting against the Dodgers because I at least want to see if the Padres can stay within like 3 to 4 games by the time we have back-to-back series with them here in a couple of weeks. Let's see if we can hang and then get make that couple of weeks stretch interesting. If things go the other way, then obviously you start rooting against wild card teams. But for now, I'm still holding on to a small shred of hope at making a run at the division, at least.
Meanwhile, I know it's hard, especially for you, Woods, but for a lot of people in the chat as well, and Padres fans in general. You're always expecting the ground to fall out from beneath your feet. The doomer mentality is real. And let's be honest, over 56 years, the Padres have given us plenty of reasons to believe in being a doomer and that the worst possible thing that can happen will happen. However, I'm feeling pretty good that Michael King's coming back, especially after yesterday's simulated game in which he proclaimed himself, I feel 100%. I feel great. I mean, the progression is going exactly as I wanted. Stuff looked good. Gave up a home run to Trenton Brooks, but other than that, he recorded every out, had different situations on the base paths for his simulated game, a little 2-plus innings, 40 pitches. He's not going to come back this week, I don't think, but we will see Michael King, barring something new happening. I mean, but in terms of this comeback, everything's going just fine, and he sounds like he will be a part of the Padres' rotation for the final, you know, month and a half plus of the season, which is phenomenal news yesterday.
Yeah, really, really good. And again, I mean, I think if you had asked Michael King 3 weeks ago, how are you feeling? He'd say 100%. I mean, he's been ready to get back on the mound. Obviously, there's a protocol for the way that they do it. What a boon, what a lift, whatever, you know. But he don't do this, AJ, if you're listening. You know, don't just say, well, we're getting Michael King back, so that's like making an addition at the deadline. I don't want to hear that cottage industry line for a long time.
I'll never say that again. I mean, after 2022 when we've got Soto and we're like, and we're basically acquiring Fernando Tatis Jr.
Correct. We all know weird, weird things.
Like, I'm good. I'm done with that line from now on.
I'm done with that line. That's like making an addition. He was on the roster.
I do think that because of the nature of what Michael King was dealing with, the nerve thing as opposed to an actual injury, like there's no rehab necessary. You know, they're not rehabbing a nerve. It's just now it's firing again. And, you know, the arm was always good. It always felt good. The elbow was good. The shoulder, you know, it was good. Just needed the nerve to start firing. So if he says he's 100%, I imagine he's just back to basically how he was feeling early in the season. It's just a matter of, you know, getting locked in terms of I just haven't pitched for a while, so I need to just make, you know, build up my strength again and build up my command again. But it sounds like he was very much on the right track yesterday with what he did on the field at Petco Park.
Well, he's very much welcome back to the San Diego Padres starting rotation. Very, very needed for the San Diego Padres rotation, which is, you know, in flux. And a deep dive into the rotation and how we got to this point. I mean, those are articles from Dennis Lynn and AJ Cassaville that I will read over and over again, because I still can't believe we're in this position with what we've seen from, you know, you're going into the season, your top three starters getting almost nothing.
But the argument I made yesterday, and tell me if you agree, Woods, is maybe we want to see more Kolek and Berger down the street. I mean, they have been legitimately good. Vasquez has been legitimately good all season. If you have more of those starts the rest of the year and less of Dylan Cease and maybe even less of you, Darvish, is that really the disaster that we thought it was going to be? We all assumed, hey, if they don't get Dylan Cease going and Darvish doesn't come back, we're stuck with these guys. These guys have been good. They've continued to be good all season long. At what point do we have to give them some credit for being really solid options in the Padres rotation?
We were talking about this the other day. Like, I don't think anybody's not giving them credit. There's a natural comfortability with the name, the more familiar names that you've seen and seen in the playoffs over the last couple of years. But for me, it's more like nobody is saying that they haven't been huge, huge parts of our success this year to, 57 wins or whatever we're at right now. Like, nobody is saying that. But what I'm saying is, can you still ride them as hard as you've ridden them for 4 months for another 2 months? Are they going to break down by the time we get to October?
They've been careful. They've given Kolek a few weeks off at the All-Star break before bringing him back. Bergert's had his time now. I mean, they're being smart with it. Let me just ask you both this question. Game 3 of the National League Division Series. You've already had King and Pivetta start the first two games. Who do you really want on the mound for that third game? I mean, I think now, right now, my answer is Randy Vasquez, not Dylan Cease, not Yu Darvish. If I'm looking at these pitchers right now, and I had to, today, I had to pick game three starter, I'm picking Randy Vasquez. I mean, results matter.
Yeah.
Stuff is great. Experience is great. Whatever. Results have to matter. And the results have been so overwhelmingly in favor of Randy Vasquez and against Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish that I'm starting Vasquez in that game. And he deserves to start that game.
Yeah, it's wild to think about, isn't it? You just made my I just got diarrhea. You just gave me diarrhea over the I didn't know it was transmitted over the airwaves, but yes, you just the thought of that game three and Randy Vasquez knowing full well, you know, he's going to have 14 base runners on and four and a third innings, and they're going to score two runs. It's like, why would it change? I'm with you. I don't know, Benny, and you are right. I mean, I think Vasquez was the first guy Mike Schilt gave credit to when we sat down with him at FanFest. The first guy. He's like, did y'all know that Randy made 20 starts last year? I'm like, God, yeah, I guess I did. I guess I'd forgotten until now. You know, they're high on what he can do. He does keep you in ball games. Man, that playoff intensity is a little bit different. But he certainly has earned it, man. All these guys have been very solid and they've earned their spots right now. And let's be honest, man, just like Matt Waldron last year, we would not be where we are. We wouldn't even be close to where we are without the contributions of those guys.
I just say, stop looking at the radar gun. Stop looking at the name at the back of the jersey and start looking at the actual results of what they are doing on the mound. And Randy Vasquez wins that, I mean, in a landslide as to who you should trust more going forward in the Padres rotation. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll have plenty more Padres talk this morning, but I do want to get to Don't Do This. And I think the greatest do this story from yesterday has to go to one Deion Sanders, and I'm sure you probably heard some of the news conference yesterday and the bombshell that he dropped, but a courageous performance by Coach Prime yesterday. We'll get to that and more coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. It is summer, beach weather. Woods is at the beach. I feel better at the beach. I mean, other than my tan line, you know, I can actually take my shirt off for the first time in a while, thanks to the 40 pounds I lost in 60 days on the SDFatLoss.com program. I got through it because unlike other programs where I had to eat like 5 bars a day and one tiny meal, I was eating real food, and that made such a difference to me. Yeah, I had to be careful about when I eat and how much I ate, but it was real food. It was steak. It was chicken. I could look forward to my meals and not dread them. It was such a game changer for me. And of course, no injections, no exercise necessary to lose the weight, up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in those 60 days. It makes it so sustainable because after your program, you're still eating real food. You go on. Get your free consultation right now by going to SDFatLoss.com. They'll tell you all about it, how you can sign up and get 20% off during their huge summer sale. Lowest prices of the year. You can start now. Hey, if you want to wait a couple of weeks, that's fine as well. If you got some summer things going on, totally up to you. Just get that free consultation. Get it started today at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Hello, Hawaii. Yes, don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Well, I was anchoring the news last night at Channel 10, and this was one of our stories about the shooting in New York City. And as details emerged from this shooting, it turned out that the building that the shooter was getting into happened to be the headquarters of the NFL on Park Avenue. Now, new information is coming out this morning. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said the gunman actually was trying to target the headquarters of the NFL,
wow,
but took the wrong elevator. Wow. Investigators believe the suspect, Shane Tamora, who's also dead now, was trying to get to the NFL offices after shooting several people in the building's lobby, including one NFL employee who got shot in the back. I think it was on a ricochet. He was like calling his fellow employees saying, get out of the building, evacuate, gunman's down here. Four people died, including an off-duty New York City police officer. Just a horrible story. Oh. They say Tamora has a history of mental illness, and a rambling note found on his body suggested he had a grievance against the NFL over an unsubstantiated claim that he suffered from chronic traumatic encephalitis, CTE, essentially, after playing high school football 2 decades ago in California. Now, I've been to that building. I was actually, when I covered the Chargers relocation story before they moved, they had the big vote there, and I spent an entire like evening in New York City going in and out of that building. There was a news conference. We did live shots right outside the building, so I can picture the entire scene and how chaotic and scary it must have been. I mean, there was a lot of security around there, so I can see, I mean, just what the chaos that must have been going on when this guy was running into the building looking for the right elevator to go up, you know, 30-plus floors to the NFL offices. But what a horrific,
very scary
story yesterday in New York.
You know, and he did the, it's obviously it's happened before, guys, and we know it all too well. When he shot himself in the chest to preserve his brain for CTE research. And that was another detail that came out this morning. Obviously, it's horrific, horrific. What do you say? The segue into the next story, you know, it was such big news, but it feels almost ridiculous talking about the Las Vegas Raiders releasing one of their players, Christian Wilkins, after only played 5 games for the team. This was the guy with the foot injury, Ben, and more. We talked about Christian last week.
Yeah,
and
that there was going to be the grievance and everything that was going to happen.
Yep. There was the grievance, and now apparently there is a an HR dispute. This happened inside a team meeting room. One source told ESPN that there was a playful interaction between teammates, but one teammate didn't find it that way. Christian Wilkins kissed a fellow player on the head, and the teammate took offense to it. Now, I didn't know I could get fired for kissing you on the forehead. Thank you for not being so litigious, but I've kissed you many, many, many times on the head and the cheeks and, you know, sometimes the back of the neck, which I know you like very much. You know, sometimes on the nape of the neck, as I know another favorite of yours. But I didn't know that it made you so uncomfortable.
Benny, I guess Adam hasn't talked to Woods yet.
Well, you know what?
I have not heard yet. Well, if he's going to fire me, do it
released.
Now. Enjoy my vacation.
I kind of agree with this Raiders player in that it's kind of uncomfortable and weird. But I don't think that it should necessarily have resulted in Christian Wilkins getting fired, nor do I think it should result in you getting fired, even though it is somewhat somewhat uncomfortable behavior for the workplace. No doubt about it. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable for the workplace.
I like to show my affection to you. And, yeah, you know, we remember he refused to get the surgery on the, what was the name of the
Jones
the
fracture.
Affliction?
Yeah.
The Jones fracture. And, you know, you look for reasons at a certain point to just say, you know, also, yes, he wouldn't get the Jones fracture surgery. He also happened to kiss this guy on the forehead, and it made him very uncomfortable. They're looking for reasons
exactly.
to get Christian
out
of the building and not pay him. So that's exactly what happened.
KG says Ben is probably less uncomfortable with a kiss than an outright hug. I am. The hugs
that's
are
true.
Somewhat awkward. But then Woods has
you
the
like
beard, kind of scratchy, so he kisses me and you feel the scratchiness of the beard. I don't really like that either, so I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to react to that. Let's go to doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
So for the last few, I don't know, months, there has been some rumors and speculation about Deion Sanders not being in good health. And he is always kind of no commented it, and you know I'll talk about it at the appropriate time, but would not say what was going on until yesterday at their fall welcome news conference for the Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders announced that he had in fact been diagnosed and treated for bladder cancer, and decided to have his bladder removed to try to eradicate all of the cancer. He had his doctor there who said, yeah, he went through this gnarly procedure.
God,
had to have
awful.
The bladder reconstructed after it was removed, but everything is good. He is cancer-free and free to go on and continue coaching at the University of Colorado. And Dion, I think, in the real doo-doo this moment, turned it into a sharing experience and a teaching experience to get other people to go out and make sure they get checked and screened. Because he says, my annual physical that I get for other ailments saved my life here. And here's Coach Prime.
You've kind of touched on it, but what was it like staring death in the face and dealing with the reality?
I didn't stare death in my face. I stared life. I stared life in the face, man. I stared. Man, you think I'm playing when I tell you I'm God's guy. I really am. I'm allowed to go through these trials and tribulations so that I could touch and reach and bless people with my words, with the energy, with that thing that God gave me. So I never thought about no death. You know, I had to make a will because I want to be a business. I want to be a good steward, you know, for my kids and for my family. But no, I got too much life to be thinking about death. Too much life. I got too much life in me, and I got work to do. We had to win the third championship. You talking about death? No. God definitely ain't getting ready to take me before that.
Dion did admit, though, as he said, he did fill out a will. And here's a couple of amazing pieces to this story, Woods. Dion said he really didn't even tell his kids. He didn't want, you know, like Shadur focused on him. He wanted him focused on what was going on.
Wow.
So he was only vague about what he was actually going through. And only a couple of people in his life even knew he was going through this. And then he was very candid that, you know, hey, you take out the bladder, the equipment does not work as it's supposed to, and he cannot go to the bathroom like normal anymore. So he has immediately turned that into an endorsement deal with Depend Undergarments. And again, it's not Depends, it's just
You're
Depend.
Kidding.
And he says, I now depend on Depend Undergarments going forward. So, I mean, the guy's a winner.
Love him or hate him, that's a great story, and I'm so glad he's healthy. Look, man, say what you want. College football's better with him in it. It just is. It just is. Whether they're good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, college football has been better with Deion Sanders in it, and I'm glad he's okay.
He says, if you see a porta potty on the sideline, it's real. I'm just telling you. And that's don't.
Good perspective.
And do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We'll talk more Padres, one of the bigger wins of the season yesterday. I also want to get Woods' thought on the other big story from yesterday, Bryce Harper versus Rob Manfred. Go through some of the results of the rest of baseball as the wild card race heats up ahead of the trade deadline. Are a couple of teams now sellers that were buyers? Are there buyers that were sellers? We'll get into all of that coming up next here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
But first, my friends, let me tell you, if you are feeling a little bit underwater, buried in credit card debt, struggling with high interest debt, you could pay it all off in days with Loan Pronto's Rapid Equity Loan. You can get cash out now without touching your low rate first mortgage. No appraisals, no waiting, no BS. The Rapid Equity Loan Program is incredible. One client just got $300,000 out, approved in under 24 hours, paid off debt, renovated the kitchen, cut their monthly expenses by $1,800, and now just pay one flat fee. That's a big turnaround. Instant approvals, low rates, no hard credit pull. No hard credit pull up front. Listen, your home's equity is yours. Use it. Get cash out to consolidate your debt down to one easy low monthly payment. Call them now for a free instant appraisal for your home. See how much cash you can get out today. They got 2,500 five-star Google reviews. They are A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Service off the charts. Call now. Get the conversation going. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. 619-207-4336. Get debt relief now at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781 on approved credit, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Not surprised, but I'm hearing some pushback from MLB reporters on Bryce Harper and the story that we brought you in the last hour of the show yesterday about his confrontation with Rob Manfred in the Phillies clubhouse. yesterday. This hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Calling all parents and teachers at Staples, your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button, the easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off, and more deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy. Yeah, I immediately thought, I need to hear what Woods has to say about Bryce Harper getting in the face of Rob Manfred, who is going on a tour, apparently, of every clubhouse to, well, I mean, it kind of depends on who you're listening to. If it's Bryce Harper, it's to push the agenda of a salary cap. If it's like Steve Phillips, who I was listening to this morning, it was more of a like, hey, want to get everybody on the same page and just have an informational session and answer questions and what, hey, this is what the owners are thinking. We're not trying to push anything on you, but I just want to be here so you can ask questions and try to do what, you know, like a good boss sort of guy does. I don't know where the reality lies, though, between what Bryce Harper perceived and what the messaging from MLB on Rob Manfred has been, but certainly heard some pushback yesterday. Like, Bryce Harper overreacted to this. The word salary cap was never mentioned by Rob Manfred in this meeting, and he just went off on the commissioner.
Immediately, my first response to what you just said is Steve Phillips works for MLB Network Radio. Is that true?
He does, yes. He is absolutely as close to a league mouthpiece, a former GM,
right.
Works for the MLB-owned arm of the media. So
if Jeff Passan reports something, I would probably follow his words more than literally anybody else in baseball. If he's reporting something, even if it's from sources and he wasn't in the room, but he's going off of what, like if he's running with something, I'm going to tend to believe him more, and I don't have anything against Steve Phillips. I'm just saying, keep in mind of the source, MLB Network Radio.
Well, I'm also going to believe Nick Castellanos, who was in the room and said it was pretty intense, definitely passionate, both of them. The commissioner giving it back to Bryce, Bryce giving it back to the commissioner. That's Harp. He's been doing this since he was 15 years old. It's just another day. I wasn't surprised, but I think the worst quote that I saw was from one Rob Manfred yesterday. He began holding regular meetings with teams in the aftermath of the 2022 negotiations, and having said that one of the things I'm supposed to do is promote a good relationship with our players. I've tried to do that. I have not been successful in that. That's because, guys, when Rob Manfred walks in the room, the players know exactly whose side he's on. He, at the behest of every owner in baseball, he is not on their side. He works for the owners. He does not work for the players. Tony Clark and the Players Association work for the players. And if a guy comes in and starts telling me how, trust me, things are going to be better with this, you're just going to have to kind of bend over and take it, I can absolutely understand why Bryce Harper felt the need to tell him, hey, man, get the F out of our clubhouse. If that's the kind of thing you want to come in here and push. And by the way, guys, we've heard this. This is not the first we've heard of owners wanting to push salary caps on players. And players have already reacted to this season. You've heard many players come out and say, look, if it's so beneficial to us, why do the owners keep pushing it? And I think that speaks volumes. I mean, honestly, it absolutely speaks volumes. You have to be wary of when management starts pushing things on you and telling you, no, it's going to be better. Trust us. Because at the end of the day, the owners want to line their pockets. Castellanos had a great quote. He goes, when are we going to stop pretending that owners, baseball owners that own baseball teams act like they own a nail salon? You know what I mean? These are money printing factories. They get revenue sharing. A lot of them don't choose to invest it back in their team. And I think that's what's really bumming people out. And I know it's bumming the players out. Now, conversely, the players make a buttload of money. They make a ton of money. Their guaranteed money is through the roof. There's got to be a happy medium. I don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
Let me ask you, I believe in at least some of your roles prior to radio host, you managed some people, right? In an office, you have been a manager. I've never been a manager.
Yes.
I've always just been an employee in everything that I have done. Do you, as an employee, do you ever believe that management is on your side? Or is that always, you always going to be skeptical as an employee that your boss, I'd imagine we have a bunch of managers who are tier ones in our chat right now that actually do want their employees to thrive and succeed and do well and aren't out to, you know, steal every penny they possibly can for, you know, their owners or management at the time. We don't believe that of Rob Manfred, or at least players don't believe that of Rob Manfred, but does that even exist? How were you as a manager?
Everything's different when it's smaller, like, I don't want to say mom and pop companies necessarily, but you see what I'm talking about, versus billion-dollar corporations.
Well, I mean, I worked for a couple of really, really big companies in management in both roles, had people under me. And I'll tell you, I had the worst of it because I was a manager slash player. So I also had to perform, put up numbers like an employee, but I also had to motivate, lead, and guide, you know, five people under me as the leader of the full-on player coach, which is way different than just, you know, Adam doesn't have to come in and do a shift every day. Adam is the boss, right? So the player manager, it's the worst of both worlds. I'm out there trying to put up numbers. Meanwhile, I'm also getting fed, you know, oh, we got new protocols in place. Your guys aren't going to like it. We're going to be tracking their phone calls. We're going to be monitoring their appointments, calling behind their appointments, stuff like that. And yeah, man, I had some Bryce Harper moments, certainly with some management, in my day. I've had a couple with Adam Klug, our boss. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had a couple of those. The player manager is the worst. It's the worst thing you can be, the hybrid, because you're not really a manager, but you're still expected to act like a manager and fall in line. So I don't know, man. My take overall is keep Rob Manfred out of clubhouses, period. Like, it's, we know exactly. If I'm a player, I know exactly whose side you're on, bud. I know exactly whose side you're on, and it ain't mine. Okay? That keep him out of there. It can only harm. It cannot help. He's not going to be in there doing public relations, getting players to go, yeah, actually, this is a great idea. If he's in there selling it, you got the wrong pitch, man.
And he's also not, and I can speak from some experience here, he's not emotional connection guy. You can just tell. He doesn't. No. He's not going in there feeling comfortable, like, you know, bro hugging the guys. Like, it's just not going to be. It's always going to be awkward when he walks in. I think you're absolutely right, Woods. He's the wrong messenger. They need someone else who can at least somewhat relate and, you know, get on the same level as the players to talk to them other than Rob Manfred. When he walks in, it's like, you know, it's like a prince walking in, you know, like it's just not, it doesn't feel normal in those clubhouses when he's there that day. So anyway,
well, you make a great point, Ben, when you said the lack of emotional connection. These guys who bust their ass to try to win a World Series trophy, they have the commissioner saying, oh, it's just a hunk of metal. Now, I mean, that's a quote that's going to haunt that guy the rest of his life, as it should, as it absolutely should, because I know a lot of guys that would kill and die for that hunk of metal, that have shredded their arms, that have shredded their bodies trying to get that hunk of metal. When the commissioner, the figurehead of your league, calls the World Series trophy a hunk of metal, that should have been the end of it. That should have been the end of it right there. And it's things like that that have added up over the years. We got to speed the game up. We got to do this. We got to do that. These guys, look, man, I know they make a lot of money. Try, if you can, to take that out of it. Try to take it out of it. And I know it's hard. I know it's difficult.
All right. We've had a couple of big series here on the eve of the trade deadline that could help impact which decisions teams are going to make this week. Want to get to some of what went on in Major League Baseball and more right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right. Quick stat that blew my mind. I'll see if either of you can guess. Which National League team has the worst record since July 4th?
The Dodgers.
That is correct. Very good, Woods. Yeah, the Dodgers have not played well in the month of July. They did win yesterday, as we talked about earlier, over the Cincinnati Reds behind seven strong innings from Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But they have played pretty bad baseball here in July, keeping the Padres in it just four games behind. But that win gave the Padres a two-game cushion over the Cincinnati Reds. Meanwhile, the San Francisco Giants, who should be making their push with Rafael Devers now, are going the wrong direction as they again yesterday 6-5 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They lost at home on a go-ahead two-run home run by Andrew McCutchen in the seventh inning. They have suddenly fallen four games out of the wild card spot when, you know, Buster Posey was thinking this was, you know, going to be a go-for-it year. I assume they're still going for it because I don't know that they have much other choice, but they're falling a little further out than they would have wanted to be here at the trade deadline.
Yeah, couldn't be happier about that current situation going on in San Francisco. So, yeah, you know, at this point, you're just trying to eliminate threats. You know, if you can eliminate threats and continue to stack wins, and, you know, I don't know how long this Dodger skid is going to last, but I'm going to enjoy every second of it. Hopefully they continue that route. And, again, big 48 hours or so for Andrew Friedman as well. I would expect they're going to be very active, and they have – unlike us and unlike a lot of teams, they've got a buttload of really good prospects that they are able to trade. Don't know that they will. Andrew Friedman likes them a lot, and it would be really hard to unload some guys for, you know, Ryan Helsley or somebody like that, guys that you think are a big part of your future. But we'll see, man. I think, don't you guys tend to agree too, with as much money as they make, they just won a World Series. It makes it a tiny bit easier to stomach not moving a Zaire Hope or a DePaula or somebody like at the top of their farm system for a rental reliever. I think, well, we won the World Series. Let's see if we can't run it back with all these great guys we have.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument, and it's probably a little bit easier. But then again, when you've got the payroll that the Dodgers do,
yeah,
you're already so far all in.
Oh yeah,
it
you're
feels
so
like
far all
I mean, what's your argument? Well, we're going to dip our toes in the water. You're already 17 miles under the surface. You're so far in this season. You can't
that
really
said,
just say, "Hey, we can't really get any further deeper than we already are at this point." I mean, you can't get any deeper.
But that said, right? Like, that team is an aged team. They are a team that, like, Freddie Freeman is looking mortal and he's looking old. What are you going to get from Max Muncy? What are you going to get from Mookie Betts, who's had a really, really bad season? Like, they're getting a little bit longer in the tooth, and the future, are they, the Dodgers, going to get rid of a Zaire Hope for a rental of Ryan Helsley to try to win them a World Series? I don't know. They typically don't do it. They've given away some really good prospects before, but I just don't know what their plan is going to be. That dude straight up said, I don't want to buy at the deadline. I'm doing this now. I'm giving $70 million to Tanner Scott because I don't want to buy at the deadline. And because baseball happens and injuries happen and underperformance happens, he's going to have to buy at the deadline.
The Cardinals are trying to hang on. They remain 3.5 back of the Padres with a 7-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. I think people still think they're going to be selling here. Which could hopefully knock them kind of out of contention as well. Just as the Diamondbacks have already started selling and they've fallen out of contention and they lost again yesterday, to the Tigers. By the way, San Diego State's Troy Melton, 7 shutout innings and just his second major league start yesterday, giving
nice.
The Tigers a lift yesterday. That was nice. But the big series right now, Woods, the battle for the NL Central lead between the Brewers and the Cubs. Brewers clubbed 3 home runs yesterday to beat the Cubs 8-4. One of those teams obviously going to win the Central. The other going to be a major factor in the wild card race, but everyone keeping an eye on that series.
Yeah, that's a banger, man. And the Brewers just, they will not die right now, and it's pretty interesting to see.
All right, we still have 2 hours to go, including an Incorporator Tuesday with Jesse Agler, who's going to join us at 8:35. And, yes, we will have Woods play Take on Woods all the way in Hawaii coming up and qualify, hopefully, another listener for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas. It is all coming up. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods around the corner here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.